Father, we come to you again this morning and thank you, the Lord, for songs that are written from people who've had experience with you. And we thank you again for the privilege to open this book up today, your precious word, and read it. And then, Father, for the Spirit of God that lives within us, helps us to understand it. Please do that. It's our desire, dear Father, not to make an error when we study, when we preach the Word of God. It's our desire to preach that which the Holy Spirit itself could use a frail body like this to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this day when we come to this place and this book is open and songs are sung and the Word proclaimed, we can leave our Father, grown in grace and knowledge, have a love for this world we didn't have when we came, in the sense that we see souls, not the materialistic gain, but souls in our lives for count for you, for it's not long before we will see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, please, at this time, to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I'll read a few verses here, and then we're going to go over to Proverbs, and then I'll give you this the title of the message. In Psalms 119, verse 34, the psalmist said, "Give me understanding." He's asking God, not the world, but he's asking God, "Give me understanding." And when that happens, he says, "And I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with all my heart." God, give me understanding. And I'll not take it, I'll not get it, and misuse it. If you'll give me understanding, he says, "I shall keep thy law." And he said, "I shall observe it with all my whole heart." Now look with me over in verse 125. In verse 125, he says again, "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I might know thy testimonies." First of all, give me understanding that I might keep thy law. Now give me understanding that I might know thy testimonies. If you also look with me in verse 169, he says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." Hey, that's the understanding we all need to have as Christians. You know, thank God for understanding that we'll keep his, to try to keep his law. Okay, thank God for understanding that we can do our best to know his testimony. But we need understanding according to the word of God. That's the only thing that will matter in our lives. Everything else takes us in our own direction. We need to know the word of God. We need to know what it says about everything we face in life, everything we teach in life. Now, if you turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 3, you'll find that Solomon is writing now, and he says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." We got a lot of people nowadays that's leaning on their own understanding and claiming it being God. Let me tell you something. If our understanding does not line up with God's Word, it is not God's understanding or giving us understanding. And so here, he says, "Lean not on thy, trust in the Lord in all thy heart, and lean not unto, thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." In chapter 4, in verse 5, he says again, "Get wisdom. Get understanding," command to do so. "And when you get it, forget it not," he says, "neither decline from the words of my mouth." Now, here we've had God instructing about an understanding. You have the psalmist talking about, "Give me understanding. Give me understanding, and I'll keep thy law. I'll observe what you want me to do. Give me understanding, God, and I'll know thy testimonies. Give me understanding according to thy word. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to lean upon you. I want to trust in you. Get wisdom," God says. "Get this understanding and forget it not." Now, if God isn't telling me how that I need this, and the psalmist agrees that we need this to understand what he's doing, where am I going to get it from? The world? The books of the world, the teachings of the world, the colleges of the world, that's good for academics. But you're not going to find much about God in most places where the academics are taught in this world unless it is a place where the Bible itself is taught. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 and we'll get into the message. 1 John chapter 5, look with me down about verse 20. And he says this, "And we know that the Son of God is come." Is come means that he's already been at this time, and he's still relevant for that day. And by the way, so is this for our day. But watch this now. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. The world thinks we're crazy. God has given us an understanding. The world thinks we're out of our mind. We're a bunch of kooks. But God has said in His Son, He's given us understanding. Understanding that the psalmist can know about. Understanding that Solomon knew about. Watch this. That we may know Him that is true. And we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even His Son, Jesus Christ. Watch this. And by the way, this would be a good thing for Jehovah's Witness to watch. This is true, he said, the true God and eternal life. See that? See that? So I say to you, this understanding. Now I want to preach this morning, turning to Romans chapter 12. I want to preach on understanding God's plan. Now last week we preached about, we can understand God by faith. About who He is and the things about His creation and why we're here. But now, I want to look at the understanding of God's plan. Please give me your earnest attention this morning. Try to stay awake if possible and listen to this, and I'll be able to be a blessing to you in this service. Many times, it's easier to misunderstand someone than it is to understand them. Did I need to say that again? In fact, most of the time you will misunderstand someone than really understand them unless they go very slow and tell us 4 or 5 times. Even then we'll misunderstand it. How many times you ever heard someone tell something and you try to retell it and you retell it and all of a sudden found out that you didn't get all the information right? Oh, you never done that. I know you hadn't done that. Amen. Here's an article where this is a true article. It's in a paper. A fellow by Mr. R.D. Jones put this in the paper. And it went like this on the Monday issue. I don't think it's around here or somewhere else. On the Monday issue, he had this in the paper. For sale. R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Phone number 948 and such and such. After 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him cheap. And he saw that and he went down to the paper. And they said, we're so sorry, Mr. Jones. Listen, we'll run another. And on Tuesday, run an ad. Notice, we regret having an error in R.D. Jones' ad yesterday. It should have read one sewing machine for sale cheap, phone number so-and-so, and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him after 7 p.m. That's already messed up again. And he goes back down, and on Wednesday, they write another article apologetically, and it's a little longer, and it says, notice, R.D. Jones has informed us that he has received several annoying telephone calls because of the error was made yesterday in the classified ads. The ad stands correct as follows. For sale, R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. It's cheap. Phone number so-and-so. After 7 p.m., ask for Mrs. Kelly, who loves with him. Boy, it's messed up now, isn't it? This is a little ad that came up. And here's the Thursday he sent back. And he says, listen, here's what I want you to print in the paper today. I, R.D. Jones, have no sewing machine for sale. I smashed it to pieces. Don't call the number as I've had the phone number disconnected. I have not been carrying on with Mrs. Kelly until yesterday. She was my housekeeper, but she quit. I'm telling you, you can misunderstand a lot easier than you can understand. And that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to know we can understand Him if you're willing to give the time to do it. We can understand Him. The concept of the church was a new teaching in Paul's day in that first century. Christ has died and buried and rose again. The day of Pentecost has come. The church has now been established across the land. But the concept of the church is something new. The concept of the church is a pre-established thinking. People came with pre-established thinking, distorted this new concept. Here, you see, the writers had to use images that people could understand as they attempted to teach the Christians this new concept. It's interesting. For example, you go through the scriptures and you find they compared the church to like a kingdom in Matthew 16. They use images of the bride in Revelation 21. They use a flock of sheep in 1 Peter chapter 5. They use the household of household or the family of God in 1 Timothy 3. They were concepts that these people were familiar with to understand the concept of the church. The church was something new, and these people who had been saved, now made up the body of Christ, which is the church, were bringing all kinds of junk with them from their lifestyle. And here you got the Jews on one side who trusted Christ as Savior. And as they trusted Christ there, they got things confused about Judaism, brought it in. And on the other side, you've got atheistics, Corinthians who are Gentiles, and they worship idols. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. And all of a sudden, they got a big mess. And so now God has given Paul instructions to understand how you can understand what the church is. How it operates, how the power's there, what connects us together, what we should be doing. It's interesting. Three times Paul uses the image of the physical body, teaching three different congregations the concept of the church. And in those three congregations, you find here in Romans is one of them, to the church is another one, to the church of Corinth is another, and to the church at Ephesus is another. He talks about the body in three different ways to teach the same thing about the church, so we can see exactly what God's Son's body is doing. When we talk about Christ's body, the world looks at it like we're duped to something, and they look at it as a metaphysical body, like we have. And so Paul, the Holy Spirit's giving Paul information to take a physical body and let people understand how it operates to some degree, the best that they know how, as how the simplicity the Holy Spirit gives to them, so they can understand what the church is supposed to be doing and how we're placed in that body for the cause of Christ. So each teaching was the same, but had a slight different focus and emphasis at that particular time. So let's focus a few minutes of our attention on each one of these teachings that he's talking. We'll take but a few minutes. First of all, in Romans, we see that in chapter 12 and verse 3 down to about verse 8, Paul is saying, as there are diversities in the physical body, there is diversities in the church, which is the body of Christ. And here's what he said. I say that through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt in every man the measure of faith. He says every person in the body of Christ has been dealt with a measure of faith. You have an ability, and God's given a measure of faith to use that ability. Ladies and gentlemen, don't abuse your time and not use the ability that God has given you and even a measure of faith to do that. And that's what he says here. Verse 4, for if we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we've been many in our one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differs according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, even prophecy, he said, teaching of kind, a proportion of faith, that which you have that God has given in proportion of faith, teach that. Don't try to get beyond that and mess it up. God will lead and guide and direct you in a place if you let Him do just that. He said, a ministry to let us wait. Isn't that interesting? On a ministry, wait. There's things that God must teach us before we can move any further if we're going to move accurately. Or we'll misuse the time in a way that whereas it's useless to do what we do. He said, on our ministry, he that teaches on teaching and exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. For he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now here, the congregation was composed of Jewish Christians who had lived by the law of Moses up to this time. And they also have, at this time, non-Jewish Christians or Gentiles who had worshipped idols. And now those who had worshipped idols and those who lived according to the law of Moses have been brought together two distinct different types of religion. And that's, by the way, those who worship idols did have religion. Two different types of religion coming together in the body of Jesus Christ, trying to function together with all this man. It's like a man and a woman, as I counsel people in marriage. A man and a woman are two different type species. They're made of the same stuff, but they don't think alike, don't act alike. Everything is different. There's no way that a woman can understand a man, and a man understand a woman, unless the man tells a woman tells the man. You need communication, folks. I need communication. We need communication. We're different things, different people in the sense of our makeup. And when God brings us together, He brings us together as one. You're taking two extremes and coming. That means there's got to be some adjustments. Amen, preacher. There's got to be some adjustments. Because if not, that home will not exist. And God blesses the home, and God requires the home, and that's the only way God will sanction and bless those who are together when they come in holy matrimony in a home. Now, He uses the body the same way. Gentiles and Jews coming together to function as one, it's an impossible task unless God's in it. Gentiles don't think like the Jews, and Jews don't think like the Gentiles. They've got to have something there to help them. And that's what Jesus Christ is showing as well. Paul gets this information. Their backgrounds were totally different from each other. Their difference made adjusting and accepting each other. It was a demanding experience. They were having a lot of problems at that particular time. Different parts of the body have different abilities and performs different functions. And that's what Paul is saying. Many members in one body, all members having not the same office, and yet a measure of faith is given to those with ability to do what God has called to do. And so, by this different parts of the body having different abilities and perform different functions, Paul has said, don't exaggerate one's ability in the church more important than another. He said, God has placed you there, and there is no such a thing as one being better than the other. You're just fulfilling what God has called you to fulfill. You're just being. And God says, you have ability. There's a measure of faith given, a grace given to you, a measure of faith in that area so that you can use that ability. I'll develop that ability. If you will just put yourself in my hands and begin to walk with me, I will develop that ability so you can do what you need to do. And when you get to the place that you need to move further in the church up, then I'll move you up in that church. That's the way the body of Christ is supposed to function. But you know, we've taken over as human beings and find ourselves not seeing it that particular way. Every ability that one has comes from God. We all are needed. Every last individual who's born into the family of God that makes up the body of Christ, which the New Testament says is the church, is needed. You say, well, if I was on the deacon board, that'd be great. Well, if God has got you as an usher, that's where I'm needed. Well, if I could just be an usher, that'd be great. But if God's got you working on the buses, that's where you're needed. God will develop your ability with a measure of grace and faith if you'll be used. Everyone here certainly can be witness for Christ. Everyone can take a package and give it out. You know, people, listen, there ought to be people having packages of our church and taking them everywhere where we go at places at times. Everyone can pass out a package. See, what I'm saying, every last one of us is needed here in this place. For instance, my fingernail and my kneecap literally have no cement similarities at all. You agree with that, won't you? You may not agree with what I've said yet, but that fingernail and my kneecap are not similar in any way possible at all. And it's very important that I understand both fingernails and the kneecaps provide my body with a unique benefit. I don't know what it is exactly. But I know it does. I know this, without the kneecap, I couldn't walk. So it looks like the kneecap's more important than the fingernail. Amen? So can you imagine the kneecap said, isn't that a wonderful thing? The fingernail up there, and we're connected with the body, yes, but the fingernail, what do you do to help this body? The kneecap. I'll have you to know this body couldn't move at all if that kneecap wasn't working. And I began to think, Lord, what in the world could the fingernail do? Well, I know this, if you ever lost one, it looks pretty bad. Amen? So it could be because of cosmetics. And the fingernail say, well, I'll tell you one thing, knee, it looks a lot better than your scrummy knees. You ever seen somebody with a short song, especially get up in age? I'm playing with you a little bit. Now, what I'm trying to show you, ladies and gentlemen, but listen, that is needed. It is needed. And they work together. As far as the body is concerned, whatever your ability is, do it well for the benefit of the body. Now go with us to 1 Corinthians just a moment. And let's see what he says. He goes in more detail at this particular time as he talks about the body. Now I have to read this fast to get it in. He says in verse 12, for as the body is one and had many members, looking at chapter 12, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, been many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, or have been made to drink into the Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not part of the body? If the eye does the same, it's not part of the body. If you skip about in verse 18, you say, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. And then he said in verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are still necessary. And he said in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So here, all parts, he said, all parts of the body, first of all, as there's diversity in the physical body, there's diversities in the body of Christ. Then all parts of the body are interdependent of each other, yet they work together for the good of the body, not for the good of the individual. And yet, they are individual in the gifts to the body. They don't work independently against each other, even though they are independent for the gift God has given them in a measure of faith, but they work together for the unity of the body. Most of the Christians in this congregation here at this time in Corinth were non-Jews. They had a common background. They were Gentiles. There were some Jews, but most were not. They were competing with each other as they tried to prove who had the greatest spiritual significance. And as you walk through this, you see the spiritual gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit were abused because they used them to compete against each other in the assembly rather than to glorify the body. Well, I'm more spiritual than you are. Look what I can do. Well, you can't do this. Why? Talking tongues. Then all of a sudden they say, well, because you do that, you're more spiritual than I am. And they began to have competition with each other who could be the greatest. By the way, so has that happened today. Everybody's more holy than somebody else, and they got to show it some means or another. Brother, you're no more holy than what God sees. See, everything else is fake. And so am I. I can put on a style. There's a song I love to sing once in a while, putting on a style. I can put on a style like anybody else. But I'll tell you, when God sees you, we're not as holy as we sometimes we think we are. And we need to come to Him and recognize that. And He loves to hunt His answer along that line, you see. Again, the spiritual gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit was abused. They used them to actually compete against each other. The Holy Spirit gave each one of us a gift to be used to bless the whole church. And whatever that gift is, He wants us to use. That's what Paul said. I don't like preaching. Listen, folks, that's just as much Bible to these three churches as John 3:16 is to the world. The same Holy Spirit wrote this. But we don't like that because it gets down where we live at, and we'd rather talk about the pie in the sky rather than down on the earth as we're walking in this life, you say. Paul used the image of the physical body to stress his meaning. The Holy Spirit gave him this information. Diversity of function and diversity of ability exists within the body for the good of the body. Verse 18, but now hath God set the member, every one of them, in the bodies that pleased Him. Listen, folks, you say, God put you in the body where it needed to be. He put me there. He started me out years ago in a place, and because I began to desire Him. Keep talking about loving God with your heart. You desire that, and He moves you if you continue to follow Him to the point that He would have you be in the church along that line. Nobody is composed of identical parts. They're different. They're interdependent of each other, but yet they must not work interdependent for the whole of the body. No part of the body is independent. Each part of the body needs a benefit and benefits every other part of the body. You know why? God designed the body this way. God made the body for unity, not for division. God gave individuals a gift so that the individual could serve the body. This is God's design. It is not a matter of choice or preference. It's not a matter of our choice or our preference. It's a matter where God has put us that we serve Him in that capacity. How do you find that? Get in this book and He'll show you that position. If you let Him talk to your heart, you can't be comfortable until you fulfill what measure of faith He's given you in that position. So there's diversities in the church as far as the body is concerned. Number one, and number two, all parts of all the parts work independent of each other as far as their gifts are concerned, but they work together as far as the body is concerned. Then the fourth one, look in Ephesians and chapter 4. The third one. Ephesians chapter 4, we see in verse 11 down to about verse 16. He says, quickly, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints in verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man unto the measure of the statures of fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth no more be tossed about to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleights of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitted to... Watch this, folks. Now, here's what we're going to say out in a few minutes. Where the whole body fitted together, fitly together, joined and compact by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, your part is going to be fitted, knitted together for the effectual working of the local church or the body of Christ, which is made up of the saints around the world that manifests itself in the local church at that time. And this says simply that every spiritual role that God establishes in the church has the God-given responsibility to benefit the church. Now, here's the thing. They didn't understand God's purpose for the church to start with. And God is trying to show them through Paul and other writers and using Paul to use these three different churches and talk about the body physically so they could grasp that. They were using the assembly to promote self. They were using the assembly to promote, to win honor and gain prestige, and many practice this today. The church is not a place to come worship God. It's not a place to come and serve God. It's to come to get prestige. It's a place to come to gain things in life that we might not be able to gain in the world. They were not using for the good of the group. The group existed to create an opportunity for the individual. The same is true today. The group exists to honor and respond to my rights, but not to the unity of the church. I'll tell you, if that'll help me, I'll do it. But if it won't, I'm not going to do it. That's not what the body should do. Suppose the hand and this body would act that way. And Paul is showing a comparison. Get understanding. Ask for it. And he'll give it to you and help you understand what he's talking about. And you understand the church by looking at your own body and what works there. The group exists to honor and respond to rights. They say my rights are more important than the group's right. God's divine role is to equip the Christian to serve and to build the body of Christ up so the world can see the unity and function of the church. It's not talking about unification in the sense of religion. It's talking about unification in the sense as a Christian in God's Son's body, the local church. This seeks unity of faith. It seeks unity of the knowledge of Christ. It seeks unity of spiritual maturity. This type of commitment encourages Christians to grow up in grace and knowledge and grow in a place of divine appointment. And that's the reason he used these three different bodies, use a body for three different churches as he approached it different ways to see how they function as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Now let's watch zero in verse 16 of chapter 4 for just a moment. I got to hurry. Here in this particular verse, let's read it again. It says, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth. Every last one of us and every joint that puts us together supplies something for the church. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Just to have a lot of different parts with many different functions does not mean that you have a solid body. Those body parts must fit and be knitted together in a way that lets the body function productively, nor if it don't, it'll just jerk and have spasmodic conditions and useless motion that has no control or no direction. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul's illustration is a powerful illustration. He goes and he says, for instance, you look at a leg, just fill your leg for a minute. Fill your leg, amen. And fill, you have a leg and you have a leg muscle. You've got a leg bone and you've got a leg muscle. Now there's nothing in common with the muscle of your leg and your leg bone. They're entirely two different materials, made out of entirely two different things. And when Paul talks about this in the body, use the eye and other hand and different things. But let's just use the leg and the muscle and the leg bone. They don't look alike. They're not made of the same material. They don't even have the same type of function as far as the body is concerned. Each only has one common thing. Both are in the same body. And both are to work towards the unity and the health of the body. I mean, listen, every time the leg moves, the muscle and the bone work together. That leg will not move unless the muscle and the bone works together. If either one of those don't work, I'm not going to be able to walk. And neither will you. I'm not a doctor, but I believe it. Believe it. You hit your knee a few times and get it out of whack and see if you can walk on it. You'll have to have a crutch or something. You'll have to have outside help. Amen? Now, when you get this thinking and try to get it to where we're at, Paul, I want understanding. God, I want understanding. I want to understand this thing. We're wandering around like a maze in the wilderness about what God's doing because we're not taking at face value of what He's telling. He's brought it down to something you and I live in every day of our life. A body. And when I see that, when the body walks or runs with a balance and control, they work together perfectly. Now, how does this work? Well, he says, fitly joined together. They're fitted together, knitted together, bound together at the joint by something that is neither bone nor muscle. It's called a ligament. That's what holds it together. And now he's telling the body of Christ is like the physical body with three different towns that the church was in. If the ligaments did not tie them together, the muscle and bone could not work together. You cut the ligaments and you make the joints useless by destroying the function of both the muscle and the bone. Cut the ligaments and the muscle nor the bone will work. How does that work out? Well, without the ligaments, neither the muscle nor the bone benefits the body. If that leg won't work, it don't benefit the body. Amen? Now, can you imagine this? You take the eye. It's a long ways from the leg, isn't it? And suppose the leg and the foot gets together. This is how God puts it when He talks about suppose one or the other don't work. He's doing it. You know the body can't talk to itself. But He puts it that way to let us understand how the church works and how we in the church fill a position. Let's suppose the eye one day would say something like this to the leg and the foot. The leg and foot says, you know, body, let's go this way. And the eye said, no, I'm not going that way. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going this way. Well, you better go our way. You won't go no way because you can't move eyes unless we move. Are you getting the drift? Well, if you don't go our way, we're not going your way. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, the eye says, all right. You go your way, but I'm going to close my eyes and you're not going to be able to see a thing. You won't know where you're going. Just go ahead. Do what you want to do, but you're not going to know where you're going. And the leg says, I'll tell you, if not, I'll do something to cause you to get upset. I'll give you a cramp. You ever had a cramp? You won't sit still with a cramp, I'll tell you that. You'll move in a direction, but what is it? It's a jerk motion. It's not got no direction at all. You're just moving everywhere. Somebody never had one. You know what? I'm joking, but if you never had a cramp, I hope God gives you one so you understand what I'm talking about. Folks, even when you read this, it's comical to some degree, but God is showing something that man can understand as far as the body is concerned. And so, without the ligaments, neither the muscle nor the bone benefit the body. Misunderstanding is easy. Understanding, though, is hard. All of this diversity in God's church, something must fit us together. Something must knit us together. Something must bind us together. If not, we jerk and jump around functionally poorly at best as a body. And God has designed us to equip the Christian for service. He's designed us to strengthen the body, to pursue unity of the faith, to pursue unity of knowledge and of Christ's spiritual maturity. That's His desire for us. I don't care if I'm the least in the sight of men or the greatest in the sight of men. God says, in my sight, all of you are needed. And then he goes on. God designed this, and for this to happen, something must fit us and knit us together. He says in verse 16 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. This is only one person who can do that. Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do this. And the Spirit of God moves in when we get saved to join us. And now the blood of Christ connects us together. That leg and foot will be connected to the eyes. That knee will be connected to the fingernail ever so many seconds because of the blood of this body. You saved and I'm saved. We're connected together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us that also helps us fit together our place in the body of Christ, that for the glory of God, that He might get that glory rather than myself. We are His body. He is our spiritual ligament that fits us together by Spirit. Being a living, functional part of the body of Christ really is not about what I like. It's not really about what I prefer. It's not what I would stress. It's not what I want. It's about Him and what He likes and what He wants and what He stresses. That's what it's about. Not about us. But most of the week we go through everything we do is because of us. But God is saying, people seem to be more concerned about our desires than God's purpose. If you sing, if you can sing, why not sing in the choir? If you can, if something you like, but why not, if you love kids, why not work in the bus ministry? What? There's something in the body. You've been placed there. The Bible says that God placed us in the body when we were saved. He placed us there. And He gives us a measure of faith and a measure of grace in the sense to do what we can do. So when we let Christ fit and knit us together, we function for God as we accomplish His purpose in life in the body of Christ. We do that. We do that for a purpose. But we literally, many times, we misunderstand a lot better than we understand. A little boy came home one day from school, and he was crying. He's 5-year-old, been in kindergarten, walking a little way to school. And he said, Daddy, he said, a bully met me coming home. I couldn't do a thing in the world with him. He said, he hit me, the bully hit me and all. And he said, well, son, come here, I'm going to teach you something. He took me in the garage and got some boxing gloves out and said, I'm going to teach you how to box to people your age. He gave me about 3 or 4 lessons of boxing lessons, and then about 3 days later, he came home one afternoon, and he was a lady. Running and said, Daddy, Daddy, it works, it works, it works. He said, son, what works? He said, the boxing lesson. He said, it did. He said, yeah, yes, sir. He said, I did what you told me to do. When that bully came after me, I hit her right in the eye. Amen. We can misunderstand. And God don't want us to misunderstand. God wants us to understand what He's saying. And I close with this thought. What, when we do not allow Christ to fit us and knit us together, the church doesn't function as best as it could. It merely jerks and jumps about doing nothing but wasting energy. Now, if my leg is not working right, I can get a crutch and I can walk. But I'm taking a lot more energy than I would if it's working right. Right? Can you not see? You say, preacher, is something wrong? No, I don't know one place in this church that I know, I'm not honest for God, that's needed. But it's pre-maintenance work. I guarantee you there'll be some thoughts next week. The Holy Spirit won't let this go undone. Be some thoughts in next week. Lord, what can I do? I want to use that gift you've given me. I want to use it for your glory. And I want to be a blessing to the body rather than have me be a place somewhere or another by God and not fulfilled, and the body is jerking spasmatically, having no function whatsoever that can be unity and solid for the cause of Christ. As a matter of fact, if the spiritual body is doing that, there's probably more mocking than there is believing. It merely jerks and jumps about, wasting energy. God wants to achieve His eternal purpose in us, no matter who you are, who we are. Are you healthy? Are you a healthy part of the body of Christ? According to what Paul is talking here, trying to get these people to understand, they had some serious problems. The Jews with the law and the Gentiles with idols coming together to worship God in unity. Boy, the Holy Spirit got to fit them together. And by the way, so did it do us. Every one of us who are saved have some baggage somewhere along the line that we brought with us. Because you don't live in this world without having some. And there has to be some adjustment. Hey, anyone who in here is married knows if you've been married for a period of time, you had to make some adjustments. You know that? If you hadn't, you better, because you're headed for trouble. There's no way in the world you and I can understand our mate. And then when we do understand it, we need to adjust. Where in turn, that we can have that unity. And it takes in our case, we have multiple people in the church that we need to do that. To be part of Christ's body has a glorious potential for His service. Let Him use you, folks, where you're at. So I don't know, it just seems so simple. Hey, the most simple thing in the world could be one of the greatest things that God could use. God uses simple people. You become a part of Christ's body by being born again into it. And the parts of my physical body became active when I was born physically. Now, I was active in the mother's womb, but it's not like I really began to grow towards who I am now, even though I started in the embryo process. When I was born and drew my first breath, it's when I began to really adjust to this particular world, and so did you. So the parts of my physical body became active at physical birth. And therefore, you as a part of the body of Christ became active at spiritual birth. The question is, am I letting God use me with the ability that I have for the benefit of the body? Because that's what Paul is teaching here. Church at Rome, same message, a little different flavor. Church at Corinth, same message, but a little deeper understand that, the anatomy of the body. And same message to Ephesus, but a little bit different flavor. But he's all three places is telling us how the body of Christ works. You and I connect together with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, flowing through that body that cannot be seen with the physical eye other than through you and I. We've been washed in that blood, and that blood has made it possible for you and I to be called brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the Bible says He's not ashamed to address us as brethren. Isn't that an amazing thing, folks? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's God Himself incarnated in the flesh, in Christ, He's not ashamed. There's some people in this world, though, since that you're a Christian, because you love them so much to want to win with the Lord, they're not ashamed of you when you get around them. But He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't it wonderful what He's done for us? I'll tell you this. It's not sacrilegious for us to call Him brethren, but He's not ashamed to call us a brethren because He sees us who we are in Him. In Him. I'm talking about understanding God's plan. Look at the body. Think about the body. And then go read these verses again. And let's fill our place that God has placed us in and knitted us together with Christ and His Spirit that we could function not what I want, but what benefits the body. Our Father, I want to thank You again for the study of this, Lord. It's been an in-depth, and I pray You'd help our church grow because, Lord, we're at the point now we need to get further into the Word of God to understand who we are. Dear Father, what's amazing about it is we get the mentality to think we're saved, and that's going to get us to heaven. That's all that really matters. Lord, I've learned a long time ago, and I can't believe You'd lead me in that direction to understand there's more to it than just getting saved. And then have someone else to believe it's right and they're right to say they're saved and nothing else happened. Lord, You're developing us. You've ordained that people would be the one to carry the gospel. We didn't create the gospel. Jesus created that. But He gave us a delegation to give the gospel to this world. I'm to declare it. I can't establish it, but I'm to declare it. And I'm to invite people to come to the Savior. I can't establish the gospel. Jesus did that. But I am to declare it, invite people to come to the Savior. And when they come to the Savior, they need to see the body working together for the glory of God. Help me to see my place more clearly if no one else does. Maybe I should, because I've studied this for weeks. Help me see my place more clearly. May that be the prayer of every person here and who may be listening by radio who's saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.